Yeah, take your seats, guys. Yeah, just before he does his talk, I'm just going to pray for him. So, Father God, we're all really thankful that Dan can make it with us here to preach the good news that you have for us. And we are so thankful for the honest way in which he preaches and his humility and just how genuine his talks are. And we pray that this one is just as good as they have been for the past few days, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That prayer finishes with no pressure. Great. Good. How are we doing tonight? How's it going? Good. How was the workshops this afternoon? That question is, as a slight undertone, was mainly how was the Warhammer workshop this afternoon? Yeah. It was what? It was stressful. Wow. You should have gone to foot golf, mate. He said it was stressful. That's not a good Latin experience. He goes home and tells his mum he had this really stressful experience playing Warhammer. Me dwarves won't move fast enough. Sorry. Right, I'm going to stop now. I'm sure it was great. That was really for me and Daniel. Right, anyway. So, okay, massive distraction that. Okay, so on the first night we talked about, you know, kind of opening ourselves up to the fact that God wants to transform us, being encouraged from being connected to him, the fact that he wants to connect with us, then the fact that actually his love makes a difference in his life. We're going to come back round to that today as well. And then also that we get to share with him in his spirit. And then last night we talked about actually really transformation. That's kind of the, kind of to kick it off and open us up to that. But really the basic thing is that transformation, stepping into all that God has created us to be, is all about putting Jesus at the front and center of every single part of our life. And that's what we looked at last night. And I know a ton of you respond in different ways to that. And that was amazing to see what God was doing in this space. Not because of the words that I spoke, but because you were choosing to put Jesus at the front and center of everything in your life. And that is a choice that is daily. And we talked about that too. And so tonight we're going to talk a bit about journey, a bit about the process of transformation. Spoiler, there is no formula, okay? There isn't. If you do these three things, you'll be sorted. It's not a kind of thing. It's about journey. It's about a commitment to keep putting Jesus at the center of our lives every day. And so to kick us off, I just want to share a video of a friend of mine called Amy and a bit of her story and what transformation looked like in her life. So let's fix our eyes on the screen for that. She says, "Hi, I'm Amy and I'm from up north. And I love a good brew." That's what she's saying.
"My name's Amy. I go to my Catholic household, but apart from Sunday, God didn't really affect our day-to-day life. When I was 13, my parents got divorced, which did shake our family, and my mum then sort of selected attending a new Christian church, which was Life Church. Now, I then started to attend a youth group, and one Sunday morning at Life Church, I decided to become a Christian and follow Jesus. But despite making that decision, I never really asked questions and I didn't try to grow in my relationship with God. So then I landed at university and there were so many things that influenced me, so not a very strong relationship with God didn't suffice, it didn't stand up. I just fell away from what relationship I did have with God. So I'd go out every night, I'd get drunk. I just act a fool. I would be the joker. And that is part of my personality, but it wasn't being expressed properly. And before I knew it, I didn't even recognise myself. That summer, I went home and I was able to be on my own and reflect on what my life had become, who I was as a person, and what I really believed in. It was a realisation, with the help of my family, that God is real. God still did have a huge hold on my life. Since that summer, my relationship with God has grown. My passion to know him more, to study my Bible and really get to know him, they've just changed the way I see and think about things. And I have just become more and more in tune with what I believe by questioning it and really trying to find out, not just accepting something, but really questioning why do I believe it.
here at university, I won an academic prize, which gave me the privilege to travel to Australia and work in Sydney for 3 months of my summer. Now, it was fantastic. I was nervous and quite scared to go. I went completely on my own, didn't know anyone out there. But I knew that this was a gift from God. The whole experience of working in Australia stretched me as a person, and it built me up. It made me a lot bigger, a lot stronger. I now no longer need to rely on others. I've developed a personality for myself. I just love life. I love trying new things. So I try and open water to swim. I'll now try cycling. I'm also rooted into the local church here in the city that I'm very passionate about. And I head up the student ministry and I teach students on a regular basis, also get to talk at their Christian union. I'm thankful for the journey that God took me on. I'm thankful for his relationship. I'm thankful for God's daily input into my life. I'm thankful for the family that he's given me. I'm thankful for the friends that he surrounded me with. I'm thankful for the passion that God has put inside of me. I'm thankful for the future that he's set in front of me. This is life in colour.
Awesome. So Amy's story isn't this big wham bam moment of transformation. You know, she was this living this horrendous life over here, then God got a hold of her life and moved her over here. Actually, for a lot of us, maybe we have a similar story to hers where we were, you know, there was moments of ups and downs, but then it was about a series of decisions. She made decisions to move forward. It was about her attitude. And maybe for you, you're like, actually, I've got a really normal story. Well, part of the reason as well, I wanted to show Amy's stories as well. Everybody's story is powerful. Just because you've like, oh, I've grown up in church and I moved to some church and then this kind of thing just happened, but then I'm like, still in church. That actually, that is as powerful a story if you tell it way better than that, because it is way better than how I've just made it sound. That actually, it's not about having this amazing, what you think is amazing thing that happened to you. My story is very much that. You heard some of it last night. But actually, all our stories are powerful. All our stories are helpful to other people. And it's not whether we deem something amazing or that. It's actually about the story of what God is doing in our lives. And so it was about, Amy's story shows there some of the decisions that she made to draw close to Jesus. Decisions she made to step close to him, to be transformed by him. And Jesus can flip our lives around in a moment. He can bring massive moments of transformation. We saw that with Zacchaeus. We've seen that in parts of Paul's story as we've looked at. But generally, when we look through the Bible, and I talk to people around me, and maybe you find this as well, you talk to a lot of people in this room, it's a process, and it's a journey of transformation. It's a journey. You talk to a lot of the leaders here. There might have been moments, but it was also a commitment to the journey and a process of transformation in their lives. And Paul talks about how this can work a bit in Philippians 2 as we pick up the next part of the text that we're looking at. In Philippians 2, 12 to 13 we're looking at tonight, in just those two verses. And again, I've not got it on the screen, so turn your Bibles on. Scroll to the right. It's Philippians 2, 12 to 13. I'm not going to remind you, but tomorrow we're looking at Philippians 2 again. Heads up, no surprises, yeah? Great. It says this in the version I'm using, the Message Remix, and then we'll look at bits of it in the New International Version in a minute. What I am getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. That sounds boring. Or is it? Because sometimes we're looking for a new thing all the time, right? Like, what's the latest thing? Or even with God, maybe we're like, God, I want you to do like a new thing. And we totally believe God wants to do new things in our lives. But it doesn't mean they get substituted out for doing the simple thing. And what is the simple thing? We talked about yesterday about keeping Jesus at the center of everything. Doing those basic things. When Paul says doing those things that you used to, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about their conversation with God, journey with God, walking with God daily. He's talking about how they read the scriptures, the Bible, as we know it. When I was because obviously all they had was the Old Testament and Jesus' teaching. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience that actually there's this humbling that we looked at yesterday of like, actually, I'm going to get low, I'm going to choose to live a life of serving others, because it's a responsive obedience to God. I'm saying, God, that's the kind of life I want to live, because that's how you live, Jesus. Now that I am separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive to God. So energetic. I don't know what you feel like when you think about your relationship with Jesus, but does it give us energy? Does actually talking to Jesus, being with Jesus, and then living our life out with Jesus, walking next to us in life by his Holy Spirit, does that energize us? Does that excite us? Does that give us energy for life? And it says reverent and sensitive. God basically saying, God, what are you up to and how can I be involved? Because you know what? Sometimes life gets so busy that we lose our sensitivity to God and what he is up to and how he wants to involve us. A really cool word that describes that, I was going to mention this, but I think it's kind of cool because it's one of my favourite words, is this old Hebrew Jewish word called kavana. And it means an awareness of the presence and purpose of God. Can everyone say kavana? It's spelled K-A-V-N-A-A-H. There you go, you'll easily remember that. But it means an awareness of the presence and purpose of God. It's spelled K-A-V-A-N-A-H. Some of you actually want to write it down. K-A-V-A-N-A-H. Basically, every other letter is an A. And basically, it means this awareness of the presence and purpose of God, a sensitivity to God and what he is up to. So we'll talk about what that looks like tomorrow outside this space, and what that looks like in our world and our lives. Say, God, what are you up to and how can I be part of it? And then Paul goes on to say, that energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you. See, when God is doing something in us, there is deep things he's doing in us, and eventually they come out, because we're talking about being transformed from the inside out. And so that energy, that power that God has put in us through his Holy Spirit will come out. And God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. So how cool is that? Is that actually it's not about necessarily we just have this great moment of transformation, then that's it, we're done. Signed, sealed, delivered, all done, nailed, life, done. It's about a process of transformation, and it's about keeping the basic things basic and keep going back to them. Yes, and seeing God do a new thing, but not forgetting them. And actually, to keep it even more basic, what Paul's partly linking to is what he's just said. And what has he just said? He's talked about the attitude of Jesus. Remind you of the verse. You must have the same attitude Christ Jesus had. There you go. We talked about that a bit yesterday. That's his attitude, the same spirit, the same likeness as Jesus' spirit, small s. And so when we look at the story of Paul and our Paul journey with this, Paul, yes, had a moment of transformation, had a moment with Jesus on that road, fell off the horse, got blinded, all that stuff that we talked about. But then it was a process of transformation to becoming more like him, to becoming more like Jesus. He didn't figure it out on the first day. He didn't get a download, 1 terabyte of like knowledge about Jesus into his brain. Actually, he had to learn this stuff. He had to journey with this stuff. He had to learn from others who were ahead of him in it. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But even then, he says in Romans 7, he says, it's another part of the Bible he wrote, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. So maybe for you, like, okay, I've been at Letting Hall, I've come to this a few times, or like, I've had these moments with God, or maybe this week, I've had moments with God, you know, it's like, and then what happens when I make a mistake next week? Well, it's not about saying, oh, it's all right, I can do what I want, I've got grace. But the reality is none of us are perfect, because we're all human, so we will make a mistake at some point, but it's not having an attitude of going, oh, I'll be okay. It's having an attitude of saying, I want to live a better life. But even Paul struggled with this, and it's a process of transformation. And so when you look back in a year's time, you go, look at the things I used to do, and now I've got some new habits, now I've got some new things in my life, I've got new ways of living for Jesus. And so even Paul was struggling with that. But it's a lifelong process, but it all comes down to our attitude. It all comes down to what he says, small S spirits. We talk big S spirit, we talk about the Holy Spirit. Small S is like our spirit, our attitude, our character within us. It says, in, we looked at on the first night about being one in spirit. I think it's going to be on the screen. Being one in spirit and of one mind, small s. Talks about sharing in the spirit, Holy Spirit, and being one in spirit, being united to us. We are one in spirit, one in mind here. That you were saying, we are together in this. We want God to do something. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about actually what does it look like to have a different kind of spirit. Because having a different attitude in spirit is going to make you stand out. You see, Jesus stood out when he walked on earth because of his attitude, because of his spirit, because of the character he had, which led to the way he did things, and he did things differently. How he showed and shared his love with others, how other people experienced who God really is. And Paul writes to a young guy called Timothy, and he writes this verse, it's going to be on the screen. For God has not given us a spirit, small s, of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. So small s. The so God is the big S, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give us a different spirit. And tonight, at the end of this time, we're going to have an opportunity to say, actually, God, I want to have a different spirit. I want to have a different spirit. I want to carry something different. And so what does some of these words mean? So it says power. Well, in Philippians 2, it talks about energy. It talks about having this energy. Who is the source of all power? God himself. The Holy Spirit. So if he is the source of power, if he is the source of energy, we need to get close to him. One of my favourite verses in the Bible, it says in Galatians 5:25, it says, let us be in step with the Spirit. Or another version says, let us be in rhythm with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Getting in step with the Spirit leads us into a closer place with him. Into a closer place with God. We're in rhythm with him. We're walking with him. We're running with him. Whatever image that looks like in your mind. And as we spend more time with him, as we get in step with him, more of his character, more of everything that God is rubs off on us. It picks up. It's contagious. You know, maybe this has happened a few times since we've been here, but you know when someone starts like doing a rhythm on the table? Dan, mainly. You know when someone starts doing a rhythm on the table, or someone just starts clicking, or just someone starts clapping, or doing a beat? Yeah? People want to you're just clapping, you're just clicking randomly, aren't you? But when someone starts clicking, people then want to join in, right? And you think, oh yeah, there's a beat. And then smart people who can actually got rhythm, because I don't have rhythm, add something else, right? And then people start to like, there starts to become a noise and a build. Right, okay, we're cool, we get the picture. Unfortunately, that wasn't a brilliant example of what I was shooting for, because none of it was in time with each other. So just got the band to do that, but thanks for everyone's help. Now, for someone like me, I am rubbish at rhythm, okay? So like when I'm leading our church on a Sunday morning, and I'm like, I turn to the person next to me and I go, we need to get people clapping. I'm like trying to get the worship leader, like getting things going or whatever. I have to turn to the person next to me and say, can you clap please? So then I clap in time. Because if I start clapping, it's really not going to take the worship to a good place, okay? It's going to take it to a very, very special place. I.e. dead. But this picture of getting in rhythm, getting in step with the Holy Spirit. Because actually when we get in step with him and we're walking with him and we're going with him, it, that we have that energy from him, we have that power from him, we have that empowerment, yes, to see God do amazing things, yes, to see God do transformational things in other people's lives too, and we'll chat a bit about that in the morning. But actually so that we are in rhythm with him, so that actually that transformation is further happening from the inside out, because more of him, more of who he is rubbing off on us, and that's affecting us. And it's the Spirit that empowers us to live lives like Jesus. And the second thing it says, don't have a spirit of power and then love. So we talked about love, loves. We're always talking about love, because actually of how much God loves us and how he sees us. And he empowers us with his love for ourselves and for others. Jesus said, the two greatest things we can do is love God and love others. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, man, and love others. One version says, as you love your God. Another version says, as you love your neighbor or your friend. Obviously, we've got that amazing demonstration of Jesus dying on the cross. That amazing, that moment of him showing his love for us. And then showing how powerful his love is when he rose from the dead. His love enables us to be transformed. And sometimes, maybe we feel like the things that God is doing inside of us don't feel that loving. But God is doing it out of love. The best way I can describe it is like this. And I have never done this in my life. My brother did it. And my dad has built his own houses. That's my only experience. Is a house being renovated. I understand this. It's very, very basic. Very, very, very basic. Is that if you go into a building or a house, kind of like this one was, as I've heard about 30 years ago, I think that's right, looking at Chad's, sounds right, or someone who knows stuff. Actually, it was this place was like infested with pigeons. Is this right, Matt? It was like horrible like 30 years ago. Yeah. Some of you don't like the wallpaper now. And it was all sorts, but actually what they would have had to do is rip some stuff out. It's kind of made it look worse to help it go forward. And sometimes there are things that God wants to do in us to help us to become this beautiful thing that displays his glory and his goodness to all those around us. But first he's got to cut some stuff out. He's got to sort some stuff out in us. And maybe we feel like, oh, that's not very loving, that's not very nice. Well, Jesus dying on the cross wasn't very nice, but it was full of love. In fact, if we saw Jesus dying on the cross, I don't think we would have said the word nice. And so there are things that God has to do in us to bring us to a place of further transformation, and things that God might have to cut out, chip away, deal with. One of the things that God had to deal with when I was a teenager was I was totally addicted to other people's approval. I had approval addiction. Some people even use that language now. I was like, if someone else says it's good, if someone else says that I've done a good job, that's what matters. That literally is what I live for, is other people's opinion of me. And you think, oh, that sounds really nice. Well, it's not, because of the kind of life that you end up living. Because you end up doing things for people's approval that you shouldn't be doing. And you end up finding yourself in a place that you definitely don't want to be. And you find yourself in a place that your worth is so low because your worth is in the hands of other people, not in the hands of Jesus. And that's something God had to deal with me, in me. And it was painful because it was all of a sudden I wasn't hearing it from anywhere else. And I was so struggling to hear it from God because I wanted to hear it from over here. And Jesus kept saying, let me tell you your worth. Not those other people. Let me tell you what you're worth, who I've created you to be. And as we mentioned before, it said, as we looked at on the first night, that his love makes a difference in us. It brings that transformation. And when we are connected to God, connected to Jesus, running with the Spirit, in that step with the Spirit, however you want to say it, he's going to do things in us through his love, through his power. So we have his power fully surging through us, that energy that he talks about in Philippians 2, this God-given energy. And his love that is transforming us from the inside out. But the final part is self-discipline, which is like the least exciting part, I think. We're like, power, let's have some of that. Love, we'll have some of that. Self-discipline, woo, yeah. Organization, discipline, brush my teeth. Whatever that is for you, some of you need to. Oh, it was a joke. It's all right. It's okay. Don't be too offended. Let some of that air back into the room, please. Okay, that's the kind of way we talk to each other up north. You're not ready for that. Okay. It's called banter. So there was quite a large intake of breath. The room nearly became a vacuum when I said that. You've all got lovely teeth, yeah? Let's just smooth that over. Yeah, well, yeah. Share toothpaste. Maybe that's what you need to do. Anyway, so this idea of self-discipline, another version of the Bible says focus. A focus, living a life of focus. So God is empowering us with us, but he needs us to focus in on him. So we've talked about Jesus being the centre, him being the focus. But actually, that self-discipline comes around another way of saying it's self-control. That actually helps us to live this transformation process. That actually continually transform, because not just because we're focused on Jesus, but also because we're putting things in place saying, actually, I need to do this. I need to build these rhythms, these things into my life that are going to help me be further transformed by God. I'm going to rock up at church early. I'm going to read my Bible each morning. I'm going to pray as I walk to school or college or whatever it is. There's things that we can put in our lives. And in the Philippians 2, it talks about this idea of responsive obedience, which is very, very similar to self-discipline, because a responsive obedience isn't just, Jesus, I obey you. It's a daily response. It's a present tense, not to get into an English lesson, but it's constant. We're constantly responding to God and saying, God, I'm totally with you. God, that's where you're leading me. Great, I'm in it. There's that self-discipline and obedience of following God. And Paul talks about, Peter, let's get the name right, wrong P. He says in one of his letters, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Self-discipline helps us to grow, to move forward, to grow in God, to go on this journey and process of transformation. We've recognised that Jesus is Lord of our life, he's the leader of our life, he's the one that we're following. Actually, we need to continue on that process of transformation. And actually, it's that we choose to be obedient out of our attitude, out of the right spirit that we see in Philippians. So where do we recognise that we need to grow? Who can help us? What do we need to put in place to grow? I'm just going to show you a little example, and it's something you can do another time. I don't think we've got time for it now, Matt, but thanks for getting the pens and paper. This is you, okay? This circle. Okay, so that's you, that's your life. Okay, next screen, please, Henry. These are different people in your life, in our lives. Now, they're overlapping different amounts. So actually, there is people in our lives that we need to choose how much we receive from them. And this is part of self-discipline. It's part of focus. It's part of thinking about how do we grow? How do we go on this process of transformation? And so if there is someone like person C who's in your life a lot, who you listen to, who you take influence from, the question is are they the person that you want to become more like? Well, you're like, Dan, I want to become more like Jesus. Yeah, but I guarantee you the people that you spend your time with, you'll become like them. I'm not just talking about the way that you dress. So like Jesus is almost like this hidden circle in some ways. Yeah, we want to completely become like him. He's our greatest influence. Totally, we want that. But then we've got to think about the physical people in our life as well. Are they helping us to become more like Jesus? Because actually, if we don't receive their input, we become this very funny shape, because these people are in our lives and we don't become rounded and grow in this process of transformation. That's what this kind of diagram shows us. But it's good for us to think about who's in our life and how much they influence us. And actually, we're in charge of how much they are in our lives, how much they influence us. Does that make sense? Is that helpful? That's something to go away and think about and chew over, and a challenge for us to think, who in our lives do we need to be an under self-discipline thinking, I am in charge of how much these people influence me, and who I'm running with, who I'm growing with. Because, yeah, I need Jesus, his Holy Spirit, empowering me, helping me, I'm running with him every day. But who are those other people helping me to do that? Helping me keep on track. And maybe some of those people in this room, and maybe there's some people in your life that are only in your life a little bit, but you're like, I need more of them in my life. Make those decisions while you're here, and then when you go back, put those in place. Someone once said, the only person you should compete against is yourself, and the only person you should compare yourself to is Jesus. And so when we're living this stuff, when we're on this journey and process of transformation, we say, actually, Jesus, I want to have that different spirit. Keep comparing ourselves to Jesus. Keep comparing ourselves to the life he lived. And don't compete against other people. Let other people help us grow. But if you want to compete against someone, I'm quite competitive. Compete against yourself. Be
become a better version of who God created you to be. So when you look back in a year's time, you go, I think I'm more like Jesus. I'm winning. How good's that? Maybe you're not competitive and you think that sounds ludicrous or slightly cheesy. Whatever gets you going, advent calendars, whatever, okay? It all comes back down to our attitude, to the spirit that we carry. That actually there is no formula for a process of transformation. It's about saying, Jesus, I don't want to have a spirit of fear and timidity. I don't want to back off from how you want to transform me, how you want to change me, or the things that might stop, I think, stop me from being transformed. But I want to step into it. Get back to basics. Get back to saying, I want to have the right attitude, the right spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. God, if I'm honest, totally uses talented people. But what God really, really cares about is not how talented you are, but where your heart and attitude is, the kind of spirit that you have. We said it last night, the eyes of the Lord, it says in the Bible, range the whole earth, looking for those to strengthen, for those whose hearts are turned towards him. Those who have the right attitude, those who carry this different spirit. And so the band are going to come and help me out. Sorry, I should have asked you earlier, Dan. He's coming. He's very good, Dan, isn't he, as worship leader? Yeah, you can clap him. Yeah. And so tonight we just want to do something really simple. As Dan starts to play, tonight, if you are actually, I want someone to pray with me to receive this different spirit, maybe to get back to basics, whatever language you want to use on that. Have that right attitude. Have that attitude, that spirit of power, love and self-discipline. Allowing Jesus to do a new thing in me every day. To go on that process of transformation. That power, that energy, that love of our salvation, of everything around that. And then that self-discipline, that responsive obedience to God. Just take a moment just as the guys begin to play. Maybe close your eyes so you're not distracted by other people. And just reflect on that. Tonight, do you want to make a decision to say, Jesus, I need to get my attitude right with you, I want that spirit. I want that spirit of power, love and self-discipline in me. I want that living in me because I'm close to you, Jesus. I'm close to you, Holy Spirit. You're doing a new thing in me every day. I'm on a journey and a process of transformation with you. If that's you tonight, I'd just like you to stand where you are. Great. Don't wait around. Don't bother walking around. Great. Why don't some of the leaders just come gather around some of these people and begin to pray? We're just going to pray very simple, quick prayers because quite a few of you, and then let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. We're not going to get in the way. Just going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you that spirit of power, love and self-discipline, that energy, that responsive obedience. And for God to continue to transform you every day.